This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Syria. The darkness visible of Syria. A failed state, a catastrophe for the region and for the planet. The new book, Putin's War in Syria, Russian Foreign Policy and the Price of America's Absence, Anna Borshevskaya of the Washington Institute, now the author, Anna Borshevskaya. And we begin with an incident that is bright in my memory and for Americans watching the presidency react to catastrophes in the Middle East. Certainly we'll all remember this. It is August 21st, 2013. Word comes of a chemical weapon attack in a suburb of Damascus. The country is at civil war, has been for several years now, since the Arab Spring. But this is extraordinarily outside the understanding of what is acceptable, especially because the Obama administration and the president himself has indicated for more than a year that using weapons of mass destruction, especially chemical weapons, is a red line. Anna, congratulations. A very good evening to you. The president of the United States reacts and Russia reacts. What do we need to know about these days between August and September of 2013? Good evening to you.
Good evening. And as always, it's great to be on your show. What we need to know about those days is first and foremost that Vladimir Putin has correctly read the Obama administration's intention at that time in the run up before the chemical attack. The nerve agent sarin that Assad used on his people and after. And that is that there was a lot of hesitation in the Obama administration. There was very little appetite for an intervention. And if there was a way out of following through with the red line promise that Obama had made, there was a chance that the administration would take it. And in fact, that's what happened ultimately. The Kremlin offered an alternative to enforcing the red line. And that was to broker a deal where Assad removes his chemical weapons arsenal under Russia's supervision. And it seemed to give the Obama administration a way out of enforcing the red line. Unfortunately, the events did not play out as we had hoped.
The dates here are very important to see the progression of this, because this begins the Russian intervention and presence in Syria, these moments. Mm-hmm. August 31st, President Obama calls the Congress in a special session. September 4th, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, bipartisan, approves the U.S. action. If so, in Syria, the red line has been crossed. We must respond militarily. September 9th, I'm following your reporting, Anna. Mm-hmm. John Kerry, speaking with Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister in London, I believe, indicates in a remark that under international supervision, that's acceptable to the U.S. to secure the chemical weapons. And then on September 10th, Mr. Obama goes before the American people and indicates that diplomacy, not military, is the way forward. Was that a surprise when President Obama made those remarks? Was the Kremlin taken aback that they'd been successful in this maneuver?
You know, we can only guess what was on Putin's mind, obviously, but I don't think it was a surprise. Because again, if you read, if you were watching from the outside, you could see that there was a lot of hesitation on the Obama administration side at the time. In fact, going to Congress eventually for authorization to use force was precisely sort of a way out of enforcing that red line. And so if you... if you're in the Kremlin, from your perspective, your diplomatic efforts, your line succeeded, and you averted another, again, in the Kremlin's perspective, the United States simply ousting another authoritarian leader in the Middle East.
The history of the Soviet Union and followed by Russia in the Middle East is critical here to understand what we're witnessing in Syria all these many years later. And Anna does me the great favor of reminding me what I've already forgotten about the Soviets' in this particular part of the world. We don't need to go all the way back to the Second War, although Anna does, to make the general point that the Soviets and now the Russians see the Middle East not as a sideshow, but as a chosen battlefield in the geopolitical power. Have I said that correctly, Anna?
Yeah, I think that's correctly. If I may add, the Middle East, even before the emergence of the Soviet Union, was an important arena of great power competition for Imperial Russia as well. One of the first major crises of the Cold War erupted precisely in the Middle East rather than in Europe. I simply say that to highlight how far back Russia's interests in the Middle East really go. They don't begin with the Soviet Union. They predate the Soviet Union. And of course, now, especially after the Syria intervention, the Middle East, as you say, is no longer a sideshow.
The late 1970s is a time of terror, a time of airline hijackings, a time of threats, especially around the Palestinian question at the time. You make presentation that there were elements in Russian state security that were boasting or bragging or indicating at the time and afterwards that they had a hand in some of this terrorist chaos. Did I read that correctly, Anna?
I quoted a defected high-ranking Soviet general from the Soviet bloc who basically said that airplane hijacking was my own invention. That's correct. But the fact of the matter is, look, the Soviet Union during the Cold War engaged in open confrontation, not hot confrontation, but still an ideological confrontation with the United States in the Middle East, and it was in the business of toppling regimes, sponsoring anti-American actors, including with weapons, training, aid, and so forth. And that included terrorist organizations.
We come now to Syria in particular. And I note it's just a coincidence of events that everything crashed around the Middle East in the late 1970s, 79, 1980, in that period. There were, of course, the revolution in Iran, 1979. There was the uprising in Saudi Arabia, the taking over of a central mosque, a great challenge to the kingdom. And then the man Assad, Hafez al-Assad, his rise, his coup in Syria. At that time, Anna, is there indication that the Soviets were in conversation with Assad before or after the coup in a collegial manner? Did they have good relations at all?
Of course. Well, the Assad regime really emerged as one of the key Soviet client states during the Cold War. The Kremlin, in fact, developed a special relationship with Hafez al-Assad's Syria. Thousands of Soviet citizens intermarried with Syrians as well. Because of the Ba'ath Party ideology, also because of Syria's critical geostrategic location that provides access to the Mediterranean coast, for so many reasons. Now, this was a very special relationship that endured, albeit in reduced form, with the fall of the Soviet Union. Recall also that it was the Kremlin, with the help of North Korea, that also helped build Assad's chemical weapons arsenal.
We turn to another event that happened in 1979 that's critical to understand the present conflict in Syria. Anna Porchevskaya of the Washington Institute is the author of the new book, Putin's War in Syria, Russian Foreign Policy and the Price of America's Absence. We're about to watch the Soviet Union stumble and fall as it invades Afghanistan late in 1979. I'm John Batchelor.